Hi, and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast is a mixture of short podcasts based on the blogs we have and longer podcasts, which will be interviews or discussion topics. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? Between the 20th and 22nd of April 2023, hundreds of rebreather divers, scientists, military divers, commercial divers, and rebreather manufacturers attended Rebreather Forum 4. The videos from the conference were made available last year, and through tireless work, Dr. Neil Pollock has completed the editorial work and produced a 290-page workshop proceedings, which you can download from the link in the show notes. I gave a presentation covering the topic of human factors in rebreather diving. The paper is available in the proceedings from pages 57 to 69. This blog provides a summary of the paper and covers five main themes. These are the complexity of rebreather diving, the role of systems, thinking in safety, the need for a just culture and psychological safety, the importance of non-technical skills, and overcoming the challenges of implementing human factors. Introduction. Rebreather diving, while offering an incredible way to explore the underwater world, comes with inherent hazards that are often underestimated. Note, hazards replaces risks because risk has both positive reward and negative hazard or loss. Unlike open circuit scuba diving, rebreather diving involves a more complicated set of equipment and a deeper understanding of the technical and cognitive, social and cultural systems at play. The true challenge in improving rebreather safety lies not just in mastering the technology, but in understanding the human factors that significantly influence safety and performance. Human factors, a term widely recognized in high-risk industries like aviation and healthcare, are crucial in rebreather diving. See the link to HSE report RR871 in the show notes. These factors include everything from the cognitive abilities and limitations of the diver to the culture within diving teams and organizations. Despite their importance, human factors have not been systematically integrated into rebreather diving training or equipment certification, although some instructors and dive centers mandate the Human Divers Essentials program as pre-learning. This gap has very likely contributed to incidents that could have been prevented with a better understanding of how human performance interacts with the complex systems involved in rebreather diving. The documentary, If Only, shows this stark reality in place. In this blog post, we will explore five key themes that highlight the importance of considering how human factors impact the safety and performance of rebreather diving. By the end, you'll see why understanding and applying human factors isn't just a good idea. It should be considered essential for the future of safe rebreather diving. Theme 1, the complexity of rebreather diving. Rebreather diving is inherently more complicated than traditional open circuit scuba diving. Given the hidden failure modes, understanding how the various systems and human physiology interact is critical. The complexity of the equipment operation and change in buoyancy management for many divers increases the cognitive load on divers, making it easier for errors to occur and less likely they will be trapped. Unlike open circuit systems, which are relatively straightforward and where failures are fairly obvious, no gas, gas escaping, loss of buoyancy, rebreather systems and their operators manage oxygen levels, carbon dioxide removal, and maintaining the correct partial pressure of oxygen in the breathing loop. While a single failure isn't likely catastrophic, multiple failures, including cognitive failures, can lead to life-threatening situations like hypoxia, hyperoxia, or hypercapnia. The challenge is not just in understanding how the equipment works, but also in managing the human aspects of operating such complex equipment. For example, divers must be able to monitor and respond to changes in their equipment configuration or status, while also managing their own stress, cognitive limitations, or social or peer pressures. This is where human factors come into play. By understanding the limits of human cognition and how social conditions change behaviors, we can design better training programs and surface or in-water procedures that reduce the likelihood of errors and increase the likelihood they are recoverable. To increase resilience or safety, rebreather diving demands a higher level of teamwork and communication. This facilitates the sharing of information and making effective decisions under pressure. This requires not only technical skills, but also strong non-technical skills such as situation awareness and decision making. Given the complex nature of rebreather diving operations, it is crucial to consider and apply the science of human factors at every level, from equipment design to training and team dynamics and post-incident or accident analysis. Theme 2, the role of systems thinking in safety. To improve safety in rebreather diving, it is essential to adopt a systems thinking approach. Systems thinking involves looking at the big picture, understanding how different elements within a system interact, and recognizing that safety is an emergent property of the entire system, not just its individual components. In the context of rebreather diving, this means considering how equipment, training, organizational, dive center, training agency, and dive team culture, and individual behaviors all contribute to safety. A key principle of systems thinking is that errors are often symptoms of deeper issues within the system rather than the result of individual failings. For example, if a diver makes a mistake, it may be tempting to attribute the error to personal incompetence, like Brian, who forgot to turn his oxygen back on before jumping in the water. However, a systems thinking approach would look deeper, examining factors such as the quality of training, the design of the equipment, and the organizational culture that may have contributed to the error. This approach shifts the focus from blaming individuals to understanding and improving the system as a whole. It doesn't mean shifting the blame to an agency or a manufacturer, that is, blame upwards instead of downwards. It is about learning. By identifying and addressing the contributory and contextual factors, we can create more resilient systems that are better able to withstand the inevitable challenges and uncertainties of rebreather diving. Systems thinking also encourages the development of systems that can fail safely, minimizing the impact of any errors that do occur. Theme 3, just culture and psychological safety. One of the most significant barriers to improving safety in rebreather diving is the lack of a just culture. A just culture is one where individuals feel safe to report errors and near misses without fear of punishment. This type of culture is essential for learning from mistakes and preventing future incidents. Unfortunately, the diving community, like many other high-risk industries, often operates in a culture of blame, where individuals are held personally responsible for errors, rather than looking at the broader systemic issues. A challenge in diving regarding a just culture is that divers don't know what it is. Research has shown a diverse perspective of the meaning of this critically important topic. Page 64 in the thesis, which is visible in the show notes. Psychological safety, which is closely related to just culture, refers to the belief that it is safe to take interpersonal risks, such as admitting mistakes or asking for help. If there is a psychologically safe environment, divers are more likely to speak up when they notice something wrong, whether it's a potential safety issue or a flaw in the training process. This openness is critical for continuous learning and improvement. As Clive Lloyd said, you can't fix a secret. Creating a just culture and promoting psychological safety requires a shift in mindset at all levels of the diving community, from individual divers to training agencies and equipment manufacturers. Leaders play a crucial role in setting the tone for this culture by responding to mistakes with a focus on learning and improvement rather than punishment. By fostering a just culture and ensuring psychological safety, we can create an environment where divers feel empowered to contribute to safer diving practices. Further to this, unless you accept human error or the variability of performance as being normal, then it is likely impossible to create a just culture. Theme 4, the importance of non-technical skills. Non-technical skills are often overlooked in rebreather diving, yet they are just as important as technical skills in ensuring safety and success, given their interdependent nature with technical skills. Non-technical skills include skills like communication, teamwork, decision-making, leadership and followership, and situational awareness. These skills are essential for managing the complex and dynamic situations that can arise during a dive. For example, effective communication is critical for coordinating actions among dive team members, especially in high-pressure situations. Situation awareness allows divers to develop and maintain an accurate understanding of their environment and the status of their equipment, enabling them to make better informed decisions quickly. They are able to be better predictors of the future. Decision-making skills help divers evaluate options and choose the best course of action, not just in a crisis, but also on a normal dive. If we understand how we make decisions, we are less likely to be fooled by biases. Training programs for rebreather diving should place a greater emphasis on developing these non-technical skills, alongside the technical skills required to operate the equipment. This can be achieved through scenario-based training, where divers practice responding to realistic situations that require both technical and non-technical skills. Many diver training organizations allow single students on a CCR class, with the instructor acting as the buddy. However, this dynamic is not like it would be for the majority of post-class diving, and so teamwork should be taught. By improving non-technical skills, divers will be better equipped to handle the challenges of rebreather diving and to work effectively as part of a team. Theme 5, overcoming the challenges of implementing human factors. Despite the clear benefits, implementing human factors in rebreather diving is not without its challenges. One of the biggest obstacles is the lack of standardized training and certification programs that include human factors. While some training agencies have started to incorporate human factors into their programs, there is still a long way to go before these practices are universally adopted. There is a perception that this is just common sense, but it is more akin to learning to dive in open water, and the basic non-technical skills need to be learned, developed, and coached. For example, open water online e-learning programs are approximately 10 to 12 hours. Essentials is 3.5 to 4 hours and gives all divers a common language and framework to operate with. Another challenge is the cultural resistance within the diving community. Many divers and instructors are accustomed to a traditional approach to training and may be skeptical of the need to focus on human factors. Overcoming this resistance requires education and awareness-raising efforts, as well as leadership from within the community to champion the importance of human factors. Finally, there are practical challenges related to the design of rebreather equipment and the cost of implementing human factors-based training programs. However, the potential benefits in terms of improved safety and performance make these investments appear worthwhile depending on where you are in the system. Safety does not exist at a component, equipment, personal, instructor or diver, organizational, training agency or dive center, or environmental, physical, social, cultural level, but at the convergence of these domains at the system level. Equipment is not safe unless you consider the other domains. Summary. Rebreather diving is an activity that takes place in an inherently hazardous environment with hidden failure modes. As such, rebreather diving operations demand a deep understanding of both technical factors and human factors. By embracing a systems thinking approach, fostering a just culture, and emphasizing the importance of non-technical skills, the community can significantly improve safety and performance in rebreather diving. While there are challenges to implementing these practices, the potential benefits are too significant to ignore. As we look forward, one of the themes from Rebreather Forum 4, it is essential that the diving community comes together to address these issues. This means breaking down the silos between manufacturers, training agencies, and divers, and creating an environment where learning from mistakes is valued over assigning blame. Note, learning doesn't require a fatality or serious injury. Learning exists in many different forms. By taking this approach, we can increase the likelihood that rebreather divers are resilient to the threats they face, be those technical, physiological, or social. If we don't act now, when? Practically, we don't need to wait for a politically relevant event to force change, but ethically and morally, we likely will have to wait for that change to come from the organizational levels within the industry. At a middle or low level, we can create the groundswell needed and apply the existing knowledge and practices to make human factors a central part of the rebreather diving experience, ensuring that every dive is not only successful, but also uneventful. You can download the full proceedings and the videos from all of the presentations from the show notes. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, the book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.